This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Woo!
That's what I'm talking about.
Springer said I had to do it.
That was it.
Springer said I had to do it.
You daggum right you had to do
Woo,
it.
What a...
Two times.
What a... what a morning.
24 hours.
What a 24 hours. culminating in... Springer and I almost having to do the best of show, or Money Penny having to run a best of show today.
Exactly. Stuck on 85 and...
I'm
sitting
there.
Hold on. Here, I got to made up a new name for it sitting there. Asphalt City Hellhole.
Yeah.
Okay?
So I have a... if most of you... Welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. Woo!
You're listening to 106.3 WRD with Philip Gentry and Tommy Springer.
You bet.
We do this every Saturday when we can get here. And, you know, going back for 5 years, I made it a point, even when talking to the brass about starting the show about, you know, we were going to do it early in the morning,
right?
The show.
Right.
And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it if you do it early in the morning.
That's what he said.
And they said, well, our second one is noon to two. And I was, I could probably do that. I can hunt in the morning and get to the station.
And we're always here early.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
for 5 years.
Through the rest of the year. But, you know, there's been a couple times and I'm like, and for the first 2 or 3 years of the show, I never killed a deer on Saturday morning. In the last 2 years,
you're
it's like,
on fire.
Man, right at daylight, I'm seeing deer, pow, and, you know, and everything, get them collected up and get them here. Well, this, and I always make it a hard and fast rule, depending on where I'm hunting, because I walk in a lot.
I would too.
And so if I walk in, I got to walk out. And I make it a hard and fast rule that at 9:30,
gotta go.
I'm done. Well, at 9:30, I'm collecting my stuff, had not seen a deer all morning, and I was like, well, you know, because we'll get to that the second story, but I killed my number one on the hit list last night.
Beautiful.
And so I'm sitting out, and I'm like, well, that's okay, man. I got seven, you know, last night, and what is that? What is that? And so I looked, and I said, well, at least I didn't skunk. I did see a deer, and I put the binoculars up, and lo and behold, it's number two. Number two on the hit list steps out, and I'm already over time. Pa-pow! And the deer just stands there. And I'm like,
what?
Dadgummit, I missed. And then I look at him, and he's like getting that, oh, I don't feel good.
Too many beer look?
He's like, yeah. He looked like Springer late on a Friday night. Ooh, I don't know. I don't feel good. And I'm like, well, rack another one.
Sure.
Pa-pow! And so then he skips forward a little bit into the kind of, because I got a lot of hedgerows, into the next hedgerow, but I can still see him. And he's standing there kind of like going, man, now I really don't feel good and my butt hurts.
Right.
Because that's where the second one went. I'm like,
three times?
Pow!
Oh my God.
So I ain't going to have nothing to eat of this deer.
But see, I don't know this.
Burger.
This is the first time I've heard this story because we just literally walked into the studio.
Just got in the studio. So it's been a great morning. And it's going to be a great show today.
I want to hear more about that. This is the first time.
Well, let's do the way Hendrix wants us to do the
All
show.
Right. Doggone it.
Yep. And we're going to start out the show with the Upstate Outdoors blog, which is the puzzle of deer movement. And I'm going to tell you from today, hunt either side of the rain. When it stops raining, go hunting.
I say right now with what's going on, go hunting.
Would it clear it up? Would it clear it up? Of course, it is pre-rut, so deer are going to move anytime really they want to.
Right.
So we'll talk about that. And then we're going to talk with B.C. George. He's a guy, he operates Iggy Outfitters out in Union County, And basically what that means is he's got a tracking dog. And a lot of folks have been
have
been ringing his phone off the hook.
I bet.
This time of year, because it's like, man, I didn't make a good shot. And I didn't make a good shot on a deer. I know I hit him. I got some blood, but it ran out. And so he's got a little tracking dog. So we're going to talk with him about, you know, kind of how he got into the business and what dog he's using. And, you know, a lot of interesting stuff there. Also, did you see this?
Oh, my God.
Did they talk about this on WORD during the week?
Yes, they did.
About the folks, and they're in the upstate, and I really don't want to come down on them too hard, but they have a pet deer, and it's not really a pet deer.
Because it's not in actually a cage or fence.
Well, they raised it,
right.
And I don't know the backstory, but I almost guarantee you that DNR made them let it go because you can't keep a deer. They don't want to pin deer because of the threat of chronic wasting disease.
Sure.
So they had to let it go, and so what they did was they taped its antlers up with yellow tape.
I seen it.
So told people, oh, please don't shoot George. He's a friendly deer. So when we get to that part of the show, we're going to go off on him. Because like I said, I don't want to come down on the people, but I disagree with it.
I hear you.
I disagree with it.
Me too.
Let's see. We will. Oh, that'll take us into the second hour, the Roadkill Cafe.
My number one recipe for fresh backstrap. Because if I'd have done what you done last night, I'd have been eating that for supper.
Yeah.
What the recipe is. I'd have went and got, when I took it to the processor, whatever you done, I'd have told him, get me that right side backstrap at, and I'm taking it with
me. They hang it for 5 days.
I'd have took that one. Huh? I'd have took that one back to the camp, and I would have ate some of it. I'm telling you. I've done it before.
All right.
It's fresh.
Well,
it's
so
good.
We'll have that on the Roadkill Cafe. And then we're going to talk to Jeff Kay. He's a hunter from Travelers Rest, South Carolina. And, you know, last week we had, Tammy Wacker on the show? She was here in the studio.
The Bear Whisperer.
And Jeff killed a 504-pound bear.
I've seen a picture of that thing.
And
wow.
She said it was going to be a banner year.
Yeah.
So we will we'll have him on the show. And then it's all hunting. So I said, well, we got to do some kind of fishing. So we're going to cover a fishing report for you if we got time. And then we'll go into the parting shot, the calendar of events. And then the parting shot, I'm going to pull an audible.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I was going to go with the old reliable Bigfoot because I found a story on Bigfoot. But we've been hitting on squirrels lately.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I seen that.
I got a great one.
I was surprised when I seen that because I thought something else.
But before we go to our break and get in the Upstate Outdoor blog, let's grab – is that Ron?
It looks like to me. Ron and Gray Court.
Ron from Gray Court. You're on – push the button, Spring.
Hey, that's that Bobby Mack button. I see what he's saying now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Now the whole thing just went dead, Miss Moneypenny.
What we do?
The whole thing went dead.
Huh?
Okay, go ahead. Hey, Ron, you on the air?
I'm here.
I just broke Bobby Mack's phone. Go ahead.
How
what's
doing
up
today?
Oh, we're doing good. Thanks for calling. What's up?
I run the antique car place on the side of 385 down below Fountain Inn. I've been there for 25 years. There's woods all around me. I have never seen a deer there but one time since I've been there, and this past week, two deer walk up out of the woods and walk up to two of my workers and let them pet them.
Oh,
wow.
They got pictures of it, video of them petting the deer that just walked up out of the woods, and then they had to chase them away to get them back out into the woods.
Wow.
Are either one of your workers in heat?
very possibly. One, the guy that was petting him, he may be in heat.
I actually saw that on Facebook. I saw a girl that was out in the woods, and a deer just walked up, and actually the deer was trying to mount her. Can I say that on the radio?
Sure.
Okay. And the deer was trying to mount her, so be careful.
Yeah.
You know, tell them crazy kids to, you know.
Just be careful.
Just be careful.
Thanks for the call, Ron. Wow. Petting deer.
Petting deer.
Why can't I have a deer come up for me? Because I know what I'm going to pet him with.
I'll give him some lead.
I'll give him the Ric Flair figure four leg lock and the Wahoo McDaniels chop to the chest, baby.
Let's go to the break. When we come back, we will put one more piece into the puzzle of deer movement.
Right here, Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Stay tuned.
I'm serious, Money Pin.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on your radio, and I'm in trouble.
Tell me something I don't know.
Springer and I were looking. Actually, you know, this weekend, Money Penny's not real happy about it, but I brought the cap, the skull cap from this deer I killed this morning into the studio, and she's like, put some more tissues or a plate under that or something. I don't want to have to clean up after you people. And I come in, I'm covered in blood and mud.
Pretty much.
I smell like tarsal glands.
This time it's a good smell.
Yeah. And so we're looking, because what was it back in September?
September.
Back in September, I brought in one of the cards.
The first cards.
From my trail camera. And Springer and I was like, man, I hadn't even had a chance to look at it. I'm clicking through, and we identified two deer.
Yeah.
Right?
That stood out way more than the rest of them.
And, of course, and one of them I really never got a lot of photos of again, if ever. Mm-hmm. And in one of them was every time –
The
camera went off, he's like cheesing and, you know, selfieing.
Giving you a high five sign.
Hey, man. And a huge 7-point, and my wife named him Seven. And so we've shot at this deer three times this year. We've shot at Seven three times.
It's an unbelievable story.
And my son shot at it during muzzleloader season, and then I shot at it, and just – I was so mad, just – I squeezed instead of pulled, or I pulled the trigger instead of squeezed.
You just missed.
And just missed it. And then last Sunday, she saw Seven fighting with another deer, right? I mean, they were locked up.
And that's hard.
And she missed.
Yeah.
And she says, man, I was tore up.
I bet.
So anyway, so last night, and a lot of things about the trail camera, you can kind of figure out their habits pretty good when you see them on different trail cameras. And I had an idea that Seven might show up, might just completely leave that stand, and because he's been shot at 3 weeks in a row.
Exactly.
And so I went to the next stand that I had seen pictures of him on, and I'm like, well, you know, maybe it's been raining, you know, maybe he'll come
quiet,
out.
Quiet, nice and quiet.
He'll come out there and eat, and sure enough, 5:30, he stepped out, and pow, he went about 20 yards.
All by himself, too.
Yeah. And by himself, 5:30. And it was almost
first deer on the pile, on the pile.
Yeah, yeah.
That deer. I told you, man. That deer was. First, I said that deer wasn't meant to be killed.
Yeah.
But the more I think about it,
Springer's like, that's a ghost deer. That's a ghost deer. And so my wife was happy for me because she was like, "Oh, you killed Seven." But the other deer that I had identified,
big body,
she
deer.
Named Cal.
Well, that's about the size of his body.
And come to find out, I killed Cal this morning.
What did they think? They thought that deer weighed when you took him in this morning.
This one right here was right at 180.
God, and, it's a big buck.
And Seven, it's like we said, Seven was about 20 pounds lighter.
Yeah,
he was about 160. But I just texted that to my wife, and
wow,
she's like, "You mean you killed both my deer this weekend?"
Pretty much.
So Boat Girl, she sent me the mad face.
What's that? Oh, that's number one. She said you're number one, too.
She sent me number one. Anyway.
We digress. It's an exciting morning here on Upstate Outdoors.
But talking about piecing together the puzzle of deer movement, it's that time of year again when white-tailed deer begin engaging in the breeding season. If you're a deer hunter, this time of year is referred to as the rut. For deer hunters, the rut typically means more deer movement at odd times of day or really any time of day, and unfortunately can also mean deer activity after dark. And you see that if you drove the road anywhere last night. There were deer everywhere last night.
And on the sides of the road, too.
Side of the road. Now, many deer hunters lament that they won't see as many deer during legal hunting times after the full moon that occurred this week. The thought is that deer prefer the dark and so only move after the sun goes down. And the truth is that deer move throughout the day and night, but may only visit certain locations after dark when it's safe. Now, the weather, moon phase, hunting pressure, food, and the presence of other deer are all factors that affect where and when a trophy buck is going to show himself. Understanding these factors will help you piece together the puzzle. The idea is that a deer on his feet and moving is better than a deer that is stationary or moves only a short distance between the feeding and bedding areas. So you just don't have the opportunity to see him. The goal is to intercept him while he's on his feet somewhere along that route. Now, deer appearing to be nocturnal often has more to do with hunting pressure than any other factor. They get pushed, and they're
a lot
like,
of movement, a lot hey. Of bad smells.
Yeah, and they say this doesn't happen after dark, and they learn. The way to combat excessive hunting pressure is by rotating the stands and locations that you hunt, making you as unpredictable as the deer that you making you as unpredictable to the deer as they have become to you. Now, marking permanent stands off that list is probably in order, unless those stands have not been hunted at all. Even so, one or two hunts will probably be all you get out of one. Moon phase is always an influencing factor in deer movement, but seems to be the hardest to pin down. You know, people talk about, oh, well, the moon's doing this, the moon's doing that. It's kind of like the salooner tables. You know? It's like
true.
Some people swear by them, yeah. But it's like, sometimes it's spot on, and sometimes it just doesn't work.
Right.
Now, more available light at night tends to make deer move more during that cycle, and conversely, more toward the middle of the day. But moving from one place to another is still moving, so it's hard to get a read based solely on moon phase because other factors come into play. Now, a lot of hunters look for deer to move more during the day once it gets cooler. We're talking about, you know, cooler weather. To a certain extent, that's true. But deer are outside 24/7, 365 days a year, and they develop routines over time that are not interrupted by cold, rain, heat, wind, snow, or they're not as interrupted as you might think they
right.
are. Again, it's hard to pin down deer movement based solely on weather because there are other variables. Now, food is the old standby that probably gets more deer killed than anything else. One of the reasons for this is that all deer have to eat. Some experts say as much as 5 times per day. Deer tend to congregate at food sources, so the presence of food and the presence of other deer often work together to make a wary buck drop his guard. There's nothing like having about 7 does standing around eating
right.
during the rut, especially if they come out early in the afternoon. You're going to see something. Okay, I mean, it's almost guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
You may not see a shooter,
right.
but you're going to see some buck. You get 7 does together.
Yeah.
I mean, think
this
about
time
it.
Of the year?
Yeah. Let's see. During the breeding season, which is broken down into the pre-rut and the rut phase, deer tend to respond more to the presence of other deer. Bucks who hung out together with little interest in does now stake out their territory, which usually encompasses where the girls are.
True.
It's a toss-up to say which deer will bring a trophy buck out of hiding quicker and into broad daylight, a doe in heat or a competitor for that doe in territory. You going to fight or you going to right?
I got you, cuz.
Are you going to female?
Yeah.
Let's see. Bucks are known to search longer distances than their normal home range looking for females, but will stand in the middle of a busy intersection.
True.
During rush hour traffic and lock horns with a competitor for his turf. And you see that. Go to YouTube and Google on YouTube, you know, bucks fighting in neighborhoods,
right.
in
right.
traffic. I mean, once they lock onto another deer, I mean, they don't care.
No.
People come up and
everything else is
stand there and video them, and they're fighting. Let's see. Okay, all in all, it's a dilemma that keeps deer hunters returning to the woods day after day to work on the puzzle.
And it's an amazing puzzle.
And we got a call.
Like Norman.
Let's say we got Norman from Lyman talking about deer population. It's going to work this time. Norman, welcome to Upset Outdoors.
Thank you. That was a beautiful introduction. And say hello. Good morning to you. I'm doing well. I hope you are too.
Yes.
Anyways, there's a big deer population around the jet port. And they need to let the bow hunters in there to knock that down. People working at BMW are hitting them. Heck, I hit a deer on 292, 10:15 at night. And if that deer was 1 second sooner, that great big doe, it would have hit me and come right through the windshield and killed me.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a problem, Norman.
It's bad this time of year because, like I said, it's the breeding season, and the bucks are pushing the does, and so they're trying to get to new ground.
And especially the area he's talking about. My son works at BMW, yep. and I would agree they're going to have to do something.
Well, to answer your question, I think inside the perimeter of the fence, and if you notice, they have a lot of that fenced off.
Right.
I think they do. Don't quote me on this. But
right.
I
don't know.
I think they do contract to have somebody that's trying to take those deer out, because you certainly don't want a deer. I mean, you think about a vehicle collision with a deer. What about an airplane collision with a deer?
Not good.
Not good. But thanks for the call, Norman.
Thank you, Norman.
Let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to ring up BC George and talk about some deer tracking. He's if you hit him, he'll get him.
See, that's a great fetch line right here, Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. I'm Tommy Springer. That's Philip Gentry, Money Penny. We'll be right back.
And welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on the radio. And Springer, you're a member of Upstate South Carolina Deer Hunters Facebook page.
Correct. That is correct.
And I actually came across our next guest on that basically because what happens is somebody's in the stand and they shoot and they're like, oh, that deer ran off. Does anybody have a tracking dog?
Yeah. It's like the next sentence.
Yeah. It's so our next guest, B.C. George from Union, South Carolina, and as he put a post up and says, just put my number in your phone. B.C., welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
How you doing?
Good, good. Glad to have you.
Now, you're not in the mountains tracking a deer up there, are you, B.C.?
No, I'm up here horseback riding for the weekend.
Whoa, well, that's awesome. Well, what are we going to do if somebody shoots a deer and they need it to be found?
Oh, I got a buddy that'll go get my dog for the right fee.
Okay. I was going to say, we left the phone with the dog, so he's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, so have you been busy here in the last 2 or 3 weeks since deer season started?
Yeah, believe it or not, I've done... So far this year, I've done 10 tracks, and out of 10 tracks, correction, 11 tracks. And out of those 11 tracks, I found 9 of the deer.
Wow.
Two of them, I don't think they actually shot them good enough to even kill them. But, yeah, it's been pretty steady. A lot of people want it for free, which unfortunately gas isn't free, so I can't come out there and do it for free all the time. But I have offered some services for free to some young kids, but you know,
yeah,
they don't seem to want to reply to any of my free bee tracks for them. So, but I try to help people out. They ain't got the money to do it. I still come out for $20, something like that, if you really in need for it. But
well, let me ask you this. I mean, like any business, and obviously this is not what you do for a living. It's kind of a hobby kind of thing. Do you have a set price that you charge somebody to look for a deer, or is it kind of depend on the situation?
Well, within Union County, I charge $50. And then anything outside Union, it just depends on how the drive is. I mean, I've gone to Saluda, which is an hour away. I've gone to Honeo Pass, which is about an hour and 30 minutes away. It just varies on the drive, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'm not looking to make money off of it. I actually enjoy doing it more than I do hunting. I just like to see that dog do the ability of what it can do.
And that, that's a great thing. So what kind of dog do you have, and what did you train this dog yourself, or what kind of background does he have?
She's a blue tick beagle. And believe it or not, I had a silver beagle, which I paid really good money for, and trained her all summer. And we ended up taking a rescue dog in. That dog got out, and my beagle went with it and ended up getting hit by a car.
Oh, man.
So she was already good to go. And this one is actually only she's only 9 months old now. And I trained her myself. I do 9-10 mock tracks a day with her. So I go out, put fake tracks out, and that's how I train her. And I trained her to be the scent off the deer, not to be searching for blood. So, I mean, if you got blood, you obviously don't need a dog.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and yes and no, because a lot of times what happens is somebody will be tracking a deer, and I'm sure you know this, the deer, especially a buck, if he's hit bad, but he's still thinking, a lot of times they'll backtrack. So you'll be following a blood trail, and if you're not paying close attention, all of a sudden you start seeing, you know, you run out. But what happens
Correct.
Is you hit the loop. So,
Correct.
So, and that's when you pick up the phone and go, hey, is anybody that's got a tracking dog?
Yeah. But one of the situations I found that, all hunters do it, it's natural, is they shoot the deer, they follow the blood. The whole time they're following the blood, they're walking on the blood.
Yeah.
Right.
And the blood stops, and then they start doing 10, 15 circles. Well, you're picking all that blood up off the bottom on your boots, and you're doing circles now. Which is, if you got a good dog, it should be able to bypass that. But, sometimes it can throw that dog off, and it'll be sitting there doing circles where you walked until it can find the right path. But, if I walk into a woods and I see the blood stop, I may walk around a little bit, but I normally don't wait 10 hours later to call after a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you said that you train the dog to follow the scent of the deer, not necessarily the blood. Now,
Correct. So
is the dog able to distinguish, a lot of places you'll have multiple deer that are using the same trail. How does the dog distinguish, between those deer, and how do you let the dog know, hey, we're looking for this particular scent to track?
There's a company out there that makes a kit. And you can buy that kit. It's like $50 online, and it comes with scent bottles of scent, and that's what the dog you train the dog with is that scent they send to you in the mail. And deer, when they get hit, obviously they take off running, adrenaline going, and they put different it puts a different scent out when the adrenaline's going also through their hoofs. And the dog can pick up on that. Dogs can pick up 125 different smells at a time. So
I never realized that, but that makes sense. So basically, if you've got a trail that 10 deer have walked, but then you got one who's putting off, like you said, the adrenaline, the panic, or whatever, and the dog can distinguish that among the other 9 deer that are just,
mingling.
Business as usual.
Right.
Correct. And also, just because you shoot a deer and you don't have blood doesn't mean that deer ain't leaking something. Something's coming out that hole. Either water, it could be anything coming out that hole that you just made.
And that's usually why it's hard to find, because you made a gut shot and you got bile coming out of the liver, or you got, stomach contents coming out. What do you do if you don't find anything, but the guy swears, oh man, I know I hit that deer. What do you do then?
Well, I try to trust my dog, and I've pulled my dog off of, I've done it twice now. Pulled her off of a track. I thought she wasn't on the right one. I thought she was hitting a live deer.
Uh-huh.
But she kept wanting to go that way. Both times I pulled her off, I said, I'm gonna follow her this time. I'm gonna trust her. And we ended up jumping the deer up, still alive, with a broken leg. And it took off. But it's just one of them things. You got to have faith in your dog. And if you don't, you'll just make it worse for your dog.
That is awesome. That is truly awesome.
It's an art, man.
And it sounds like you can sort of get the dog started. But I guess it's like I trained a retriever I had years ago. And man, there's a lot of cues that dog looks to you about, like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? And until you spend a bunch of time with that dog, it's like you said, it's kind of hard to explain.
And it is. I've had her stop and look back at me a couple of times, just stare at me, like, am I on the right track or not? I tell her, I say, what you got? And she keeps on going, so. It's almost like she turns to me for approval if she's on the right track or not.
Wow.
Sometimes, but for her age, she is truly something amazing. I can't imagine what she's going to be when she hits two years old. At 9 months, finding 9 deer already out of 11. That's pretty good ratio. And honestly, the two deer, I'm not from South Carolina. I'm from Indiana. And I've never heard of people shooting deer in the neck until I come up here.
Yeah.
And the two deer that I couldn't find were shot in the neck.
I would think if somebody shot a deer in the neck, there wouldn't be any tracking.
Well, yeah, but there's so much meat in that neck, guys, and all that. If that bullet does not get that main blood vein or the windpipe,
yeah,
there's a lot of other stuff there. It's just a flesh wound.
Well, and I think what a lot of hunters are trying to do is they're trying to avoid tracking a deer by shooting it in the neck, and a lot of that thought process is either I hit it and drop it, or I, you know, clean miss. And, I don't think that's really a responsible attitude. Although in some situations I've done it because I didn't have any other shot.
Yeah. And a lot of people have told me they do it to save meat.
Yeah, that's like Springer.
That's the last thing I worry about. Yeah. I'm either going to kill it or I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but yeah, it's something fun. I love it to death. So. And I'm hoping to get. I just got a. I don't know if you saw the last post I had on. Was it Thursday? I had a track Thursday night. I don't know. I posted it in that upstate South Carolina Deer Hunter. And this dude shot it, and an inch lower, he would have missed the deer. But he called me. I can't remember his name. He does TV shows, hunting TV shows and stuff too.
Oh.
And he ended up giving me. Pretty much, it's kind of like a contract. For his hunt club.
Wow.
Anytime a deer needs found, I'm the one coming out there.
And where was that at? Union? Where did that happen at?
It's in Union. It's over by Airport Road over there in Union.
It wasn't Hank Parker, was it?
No, it's not Hank Parker. I wouldn't forget that name.
Yeah. Anyway.
But they do a lot of disabled, you know, benefits and stuff for hunting and get disabled people out there to be able to hunt, and so it was something nice. But he told me he had a buddy out there, and that's the guy's track we were doing, and we go out there, and he said it was standing here and it ran in the woods within this 20 foot area, because I was 300 yards away. I don't know exactly where he ran in. I just know it was right here.
Yep.
So and then not a drop of blood, and I say, well, let's hope she gets it. And I told her to hunt him up, and heck, if she didn't jump right in the woods, and he said, yeah, that's where I think she ran, the deer ran. We ended up getting about 50 yards of the woods, and nothing but, you know, it was crap. Like it looked like it was a gut shot.
Yeah.
It was just, it was everywhere. And, but we ended up finding that deer. We didn't find no blood, nothing else, no other guts or nothing, but she ended up finding it, over across a big ditch. And he was excited. I was messing with him because they wanted to stay out on the roadbed while I did the track by myself. And so they weren't up in there messing around and stuff. And I was messing with him when I found it. He said, you find it yet? And I said, man, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you killed this deer or not, but if you want to go ahead and come in the woods, I got him right here. he thought I was lying. He pushed my buddy out the way and took off running through the woods.
That is awesome. Well, somebody wants to get in touch with you this deer season, how can they get hold of you? Give us a phone number or a website or a Facebook page or something that people can reach you.
The only thing I have, I do have some business cards, but I've posted it in Upstate Deer Hunters. But my phone number is an 843 area code, 513-3329. And that's 843-513-3329. And then you got the Iggy Outfitters. We're new game tracking on Facebook, which you can also reach me through Facebook through Messenger.
Awesome. We'll post a link to that on our Facebook page. And BC, thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely, man.
And if you guys need some services on deer tracking, here's the man to call. Give him a call.
Thank you, bud.
Have a good one, guys.
All right.
It's a lost art, man.
That is awesome. I meant to ask him if he does does shed hunting too.
Wow.
Dog like that. Ran out of time. Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we'll talk about the probably the most talked about deer all week. It's George. I'm going to call him George and love him and pet him and put yellow tape around his antlers.
I'm Tommy Springer. That's Philip Gentry. Money Beanie behind the shield. We'll be back. This is Upstate Outdoors. It's finna get ugly.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on your radio, and we got Gunny from Gunny Jane. Where's he from?
I don't know. It doesn't
matter.
Doesn't matter.
Gunny,
from Upstate.
Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. Somewhere in the Upstate.
What's up?
I'm from Spartanburg.
There you go.
And I lived in Union County mostly all my life, what time I wasn't in the Marine Corps. And I've hunted deer for over 50 years. And I can tell you a few things that you'll learn if you get out there in the bushes and start hunting these deer. Dark blood, spotted blood that's dark, you've made a good shot. And there'll be long parts or whatever in there.
Yep.
You'll find places where he's tried to bleed and he's blown out the hole and blown out the blood out of his mouth and all, he's still running. That's usually a good sign.
Yep.
But if you get bright red blood, you've got a gut shot. And it's going to be hard to get him. But there's another thing that you can do. He can cut his blood off if it's a high shot or something. He liable to be running and you'll lose your blood trail.
Yep.
You just got to look around. And another thing is to know where your water is. He's going straight to the creek. He knows to get in it. And he will be on the far side of the creek on the other bank. That's where he's going to be laying, because that's as far as he's going to go. He thinks he's hiding.
Yep.
But these are things that I picked up over the time. As far as the neck shot, I use the neck shot a lot.
Yeah, is the same thought on that? It either going to be hero or zero? Is that why you go for the neck shot?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Amen.
I've hit the windpipe and knocked a hole big enough to stick my hand in there. The thing ran down to the creek. Across the creek, you could see the blood on both sides. And he went between two trees, and the blood was on the trees on both sides of it, as high as I could reach where he jumped. And he finally bled out about 25 or 30 yards on the other side.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, another thing is, when you can't find blood, you mark. And best thing to use is some toilet paper, because it's biodegradable. You take it with you.
Yep.
You put that on a limb or something, a briar, to where your blood trail is all the way down through there. You just periodically do it. When you lose blood, if you've got a buddy, the good thing is to have him stand there.
Yep.
You start doing the circles, walking out and doing the circles off the trail. More than likely, 50% of the time, you'll pick up that blood trail again, and you will find your deer.
Yep.
Otherwise, the only thing you're going to end up doing is waiting for the buzzards to circle.
And that's
when you'll find your deer.
That's right.
And, you know, Jay, this time of year, buzzards are not a guarantee, because there's so many deer out there. Yeah, I hate going to the buzzards as a last resort. But
that's some good tips,
yes,
Gunny,
sir,
and we appreciate you being part of it. And thank you for your service, my friend. That's good tips.
Yeah. And I tell you, we had one that we tracked. Actually, Boat Girl's first deer. Yeah, I don't know if I told this story on the air or not, but. She was shooting a 243, which is not my favorite caliber. I don't want to open that can of worms.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we went to Cabela's this week.
I figured that was coming.
She got a new gun after she missed that deer.
Right.
Because I thought she might have hit it and repeated
that. That's what I was afraid.
But it ends up, we saw it on trail camera, so
right.
She missed.
Anyway.
I'm just, you know, people who shoot 243 and they got that accuracy, but man, when you're, you know, a lot of times you're shooting the deer And I just don't think there's a lot of knockdown in the 243. I was going to ask Gunny what caliber he likes.
I bet you it's probably a 308. Yeah. Knowing his background.
Yeah, or, 30 caliber.
Yeah, exactly.
And, but she shot this deer right in the shoulder, and the bullet never went into the lung cavity.
It exploded on the shoulder blade.
Yeah, and there was nothing. There was no hair. There was no blood. I did find a couple of tracks, kind of like BC was talking about.
Right.
That looked to be that.
Like
that,
he was startled.
Scared, running around. Right. And we didn't find that deer until the next day. You know, we just left it alone.
Right.
And then we just started walking. Just started walking in circles. And like he said, I was like, well, the old thing is to go to water.
Right.
And sure enough, we found that deer on its way to water. It never made it.
Never made it.
Wow.
That's first hour, buddy.
There you go. Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, Springer's going to bring us the Roadkill Cafe.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors. I'm Tommy Springer. That's Philip Gentry. Money Penny behind the shield. We'll be back on the flip side of the news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.